Okay. So moving, or rather should say, now that we've established this sacred space mood, the topic that's scheduled for discussion this morning is understanding the mind, the role of the mind in approaching the Holy Name. I thought a nice place to begin discussing that topic is a very familiar passage from First Canto of Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada speaks about this. The last verse and purport of chapter 3, 1344. Prabhupada writes, one should hear with rapt attention, that's the mind, rapt attention from the real person, then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. This is in relation to Srimad Bhagavatam, but the same principle applies to all the manifestations of Krishna that very mercifully we've been given access to. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or another, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. I'm going to refer to this again two more times to help bring that impression more deeply. What's happened? I'd like the chart of the Gopuram chart. So, some of you are new, I mean, newly arrived, so welcome. And, you know, the rocket has already launched for most of us, so you're just going to have to catch on the fumes or something. You know. It's like getting on the bus or the train that's already rolling. And We'll help you, but, you know, we're rolling. This is a Gopuram chart where those three entryways, the physical, mental, and heart level of approaching chanting, need to be in alignment. Purity on the physical level, purity on the mental level, purity on the heart level to approach Radha and Krishna. Because actually the Hare Krishna mantra is Radha and Krishna. Hare is the vocative of Hara, who is the same as Radha. hara. And in the vocative becomes hare. So we're approaching Radha Krishna. And we're now in the second gate, or Gopuram, in the mind department. So it's with the assumption that we've done something to help with the body department so that we can enter the mind going to Krishna. I'll remind you of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's wonderful explanation of how the mind can approach Krishna, although the mind is material. So, to remind you of his very, very beautiful poetic expression of how that works, is we make an effort, we try to fix the mind on Krishna, and Krishna smiles, considering, oh, my devotee. He wants to approach me. And so he's trying to fix this material mind on me. But the material mind can't approach me. But he's so sincere. Let me help him. Very nice. So, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur then says, the mind is like a lake. Normally the lake is very agitated. But the mind has become calm. And so from the other side of the lake, Krishna makes some waves in the lake. And the waves of the lake come and touch the soul of that sincere devotee. And then they feel contact with Krishna through the mind. Krishna has spiritualized the mind. It's the pulling from Krishna's side, the reciprocation from Krishna's side, that makes it possible to bring the mind to Krishna. Otherwise, we all have the experience. Try and try and try and try and try. We're dependent. It's our constitutional position. We're dependent. Try, in a dependent position, you're dependent upon the independent. But because the independent, Krishna, is loving, he reciprocates. And then the mind becomes spiritualized. Well, we have some other experience. Plenty of other experience with our dear companion, the mind. So we'll dwell a little bit on our dear companion of the mind. It's like another entity with another will, another set of desires. It's like being married. Whatever that's like. Maybe that's not a good example. A companion who wants to do things other than what we want. And it's not some of the time, it's most of the time. And even if there's some agreement, okay, we'll work together. And the next moment, he's going in another direction. Like Arjuna says to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what is it that, as if some other will is operating here, and I make up my mind. I make up my mind with intelligence. I've carefully considered something and I decide to do something. It doesn't happen. We decide to not do something and it happens. What's going on? As if forced by some other will, the mind. It's this constant companion of the soul. As if another living entity with another will and another competing. And we're all too familiar. It's not just like a companion that's mild and passive and docile. Oh, no. Competing all the time. Wanting attention. It's like a child. Attention! Don't give the child attention! Okay. And it's not just attention, it's dominance. And the mind is always saying something. There's so many somethings that the mind says. Like this other person here, how come they never get it? Or we're sitting trying to fix our mind on the holy name and the multi-processing program. The mind is very busy, you know, sorting out some kind of problem that we're encountering. Or a task that needs to be done and detailing how to execute the task that needs to be done. Or, oh yeah, there's this important call and so I should be... Maybe I'll just go make this one call and come right back to chanting. Just one call. And it's not, you know, a calm, solo voice. Constant chatter. With so many ideas and so many desires and this other will that's just irrepressible. There's a conventional story about the mind. And it's, I present this with stress management course for corporate people. It's the Chinese farmer story. Some of you know this. It's a conventional story. Once upon a time, there was a Chinese farmer. And the people in his village, they thought, oh, you're so fortunate, you have a horse. And because you have this horse, you can plow your field so much more easily than us that don't have a horse. You're so fortunate. And the Chinese farmer said, fortunate or unfortunate, who can say? And then some time passed and the horse ran away. And the village people came to the farmer and said, oh, how unfortunate, the horse ran away. Now you can't plow your fields as easily as before. And the Chinese farmer said, fortunate or unfortunate, who can say? Some time passed, the horse came back. Not only he came back, but he came back with several other wild horses accompanying him. And now the village people came to the Chinese farmer and said, oh, you're so fortunate, now you have many horses, you can plow your field so much more easily. And the Chinese farmer said, fortunate or unfortunate, who can say? So after some time, the son of the Chinese farmer was training the horses, raking the wild horses to train them to help plow the field, and he fell off the horse and broke his leg. And the village people came to the Chinese farmer and they said, oh, how unfortunate, your son has broken his leg. And the Chinese farmer said, fortunate or unfortunate, who can say? And after some time, the Chinese government came, there was a war and there was conscription. All young, able-bodied men had to go off to war, and the Chinese farmer's son was passed up because he had a broken leg. And the village people came to the Chinese farmer and said, oh, you're so fortunate. Your son has been saved from having to go to war because he has a broken leg. And the Chinese farmer said, fortunate or unfortunate, who can say? So that's Taoism. There's no shelter of Krishna in that little parable. Just make note of that. I don't say that to the stress management folks. But the role of the mind in seeing something as a source of distress or stress or unhappiness and becoming obsessed with that. But the point of the story here is how you see things determines, you know, the configuration of mind determines how you see things, how you perceive reality. And reality is the perception, not the event or the configuration of matter. So the mind has this tendency of making mistakes because the mind is filled with desires and is impure. So where we're headed here is purity, just like the purport to start off this discussion. Purity means being attached to Sat, or being attached to Krishna. And presently, Asat Trishna, for those of you that were here yesterday, Trishna, thirst for Asat. And because of that thirst for Asat, the mind is restless, the turbulent mind. And this other entity with its other will that's different than ours, that won't listen, sometimes listen, but mostly doesn't listen, so purity, I'm going to emphasize this several times. Purity is to be attached to Krishna. And when we're not, to the degree that we're not attached to Krishna, we look upon the temporary as all in all. Like in our sharing yesterday with the gaps example, Ananda Vrindavan shared with us that there's the big picture, and then there's the immediate, and her expression was, I get lost in the immediate and lose the big picture, and then my mind becomes all absorbed in the immediate. What to speak of the big picture? The big picture is Krishna. That what the soul's identity really is, and our real source of happiness, losing that connection. We're in this realm of asat, and the mind becomes attached to asat because we're attached to something. And that's the struggle with the mind. It likes whatever the position is, or doesn't like whatever the position is, and carries on according to the modes of nature. And we've got this companion, always chattering. I want to highlight just this, how the mind can mislead us, not only away from Sat, but even in this realm of Asat. Brajavihari, example one. Brajavihari shared with me one book. So he suggested you might want to read this book. I read the book, or read most of the book. The title of the book was, That's Not What I Meant. And it's a description of someone, the author was a PhD woman married to a PhD man. There's a few PhDs here in the audience, and some of you are married, and you know, she wanted very much to please her husband, and so she would not speak when he would say, you know, what is it that you would like? And she would say, whatever you want, dear. He said, no, I'm asking, what do you want? And they would have arguments over like the discussion yesterday about neophyte. And their marriage broke up, and so she, because of that, and so she wanted to study what causes this. And it's, you know, there are many examples within. She got another PhD, and you know why people fight when people misunderstand, because intentions are sometimes not understood. One example that stands out in the book is one American woman, you know, the ugly American, was visiting in the UK. And she thought, you know, people have this impression of the ugly American, so I'll just be nice. I'll be an example of a nice American. So she went to some cafe, and all the seats were occupied. So she sat at a table where there were a young British couple. And she thought, I'd be intruding on their space, so I'll say nothing. And she ordered, the waitress came, and she ordered her whatever she ordered, and some exchanges happened, and at a certain point the young couple were speaking to each other and said, you know, why are you being so rude? I thought I was being polite. Well, you didn't say anything. And, you Americans. Well, what I meant was, my intention was, but you've misunderstood my intention. And, you know, but had they not had that exchange, they would have gone off thinking, oh, those rude Americans, they never are warm. They're always so cold and distant. Have you ever had the experience of your intention being some act of kindness and it just is read the opposite way? You go out of your way, like, you know, cartwheels and backflips, to do something to show to another person, you're important to me. You mean something. And they read it just the opposite way. What happened? What is that? It's the mind. It's the mind. The mind can be our greatest enemy. It can break relationships when we're trying to establish loving relationships. If the mind is attached to asat. Scriptural example, King Chichaketu, when he became an Uttama Adhika, what to speak of us, he was in the topmost platform of devotional service that one can achieve. He was in such an elevated state of bhakti that he was on an equal level or a friendship exchanging level with Lord Shiva, and he came to visit his friend Lord Shiva, and he spoke something in appreciation of Lord Shiva that Parvati read as a put down of Lord Shiva, and she cursed him. Become a demon! You offender of my husband, Lord Shiva. You don't know his greatness. So he became Vritrasura. Because Parvati's curse can't be avoided. She's the controller of this material energy by the agency of Krishna's empowering her. If it can happen to an Uttama Adhikari Vaishnav, it even happened to Krishna. Twice in Dwarka. He was accused of killing his father-in-law, Satrajit, who had the Shamantaka jewel, and after Satrajit was killed, everyone did the pss, 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 pss. And Satrajit accused Krishna of killing his brother, Prasena, to get the Shamantaka jewel and give it to Ugrasena. Where's that coming from? Even in Dwarka. Mind. The mind tainted can do like that. So, principle. The principle is, according to one's mindset, one will perceive events, and this perception becomes reality. And the mind that's not connected, or let's say, the mind carries conceptions of life. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, yes? As air carries different aromas, the mind carries different conceptions of life. That's in the material position. But the spiritual position is, there's no material mind. The good news is, the spiritual position, there's no material mind. There is a mind. There's thinking, feeling, and willing. But this dismantling of the material mind takes place when we regain our spiritual position. So this is the solution. I was presenting the problem, a little bit more on the problem, but the solution is to bring the mind to Krishna. When the mind is not upon Krishna, when our, back to the first day, sankalpa, our intention is not to be with Krishna. There's the default position, it's something other than Krishna. And then ego drives the mind. We're blaming the mind. It's not the mind. The mind is becomes the instrument, or is harnessed by false ego. And false ego is very selfish, very self-interested. And from this mind driven by false ego, the whole material civilization is created. But when we can bring the mind to Krishna, then it smashes to pieces the whole configuration of material existence, both, as you were speaking, on the sacred space, both internally and externally. Our life, we generate around ourselves a sacred-inducing environment, and within ourselves also a in harmony or aligned with Krishna space. I'm going to read something from Judd Bharat's instructions to Maharaj Rahukana. Those of you who want to look up the reference later can do so. It's 5.11, text 16 and 17. I'll preface it by summarizing. Rahugana is being told, you're thinking you're king? How long are you king? What does it mean to be? Who is the ruler? It's the conception within the mind that is thinking, I am king, and you are my palanquin carrier. This is illusion. But that illusion is created by the mind. The soul's designation, mind. Interesting start. The soul's designation, upadhi, right? Bhakti means sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. Tat paratvena nirmalam. But if you're not in that position, then the mind carries this designation. I am... fill in the blank. The soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable conditions of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. It creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects or give it slight chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Our companion, the mind. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer the mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. The mind creates reality. And with that reality comes the various configurations of matter. I gave one example, two examples the other day from previous japa retreats. The butterfly example. Where's our mascot? Can you get the butterfly? For those of you that are with us just for the first time, I gave this example of transformation. We're here for this retreat to transform ourselves from one level of sadhana bhakti to another level of sadhana bhakti with freedom. We were not in bondage by this mind who is our captor, but there's freedom, very curiously, by surrender. Surrender means freedom. Surrender sounds like captivity. But the material energy has us in captivity, and with surrender there's this transformation. So, Nittai Priya was really moved by this imagery of butterfly becoming transformed. And so in her 64-round day, as we'll be taking up our 64-round day tomorrow, her mind was upon this image of the transformation of a butterfly. And so Krishna sent a butterfly for about half of her 64 rounds. Constant companion, butterfly. It's the power of the holy name to bring things about. The power of the mind to bring about configurations of matter. Just share another little personal experience. For many years, as a young brahmachari, like many of our young brahmacharis in the Hare Krishna movement did, I spent years distributing Prabhupada's books. And one experience was, I was part of the airport party, and at a certain point in time, the Puerto Rico airport was legalized for book distribution. So I was requested, along with Gajahanta, to go to Puerto Rico and distribute books in the Puerto Rico airport. That was an interesting experience, having not spoken a word of Spanish in my life, to go to Puerto Rico and distribute books. Where it was either the New Yorkers who were on vacation to Puerto Rico or the Puerto Rican people who didn't speak much English. Very challenging. And at a certain point of time in being there, they were doing some renovations to the airport, so we had to go elsewhere. And so we went... there were slow periods. That was it. Slow periods in the airport, certain times of the week, we learned a pattern. And so we did this very far out thing. We went to a place where you can get on pontoon planes, and zoom, and took off and went to some of the other islands to distribute books. You know, most people go to the islands for some other reason. We went there to distribute books. Because the plane was low enough, we could just fly over islands, and I was looking out the window and seeing, wow, look at that. There's a naval base. Someone, because the mind said, wow, this would be a great place to have a military base. So it became a military base. Well, then another island, big cane plantation on that island, because someone thought money, tropics, sugar, big cane plantation. Another place, tourism, another place. The same, you know, another island and another island and another island. What's the big deal? But, you know, then someone got an idea in their mind, and so they made that reality. And then another reality, and it struck me very strongly. Of course, the whole world is made of that. Someone's got an idea in their mind, and bhavati, with some ugra karma, they make something and think, I did it. And that's reality. It's just a product of the mind. And it happens moment to moment. I'll share another moment-to-moment book distribution experience, especially those that have done lots of book distribution. If you're tuned in to Krishna, the Krishna channel, it's ecstatic. And if you're tuned into I'm the doer mentality, it's painful. Yes? It's like an endless series of no's. Because Krishna doesn't want that for his devotee, although he wants the person to get the book. That you're tuned into the I'm the doer channel, it's painful. And then, you know, the signal is, it's just like chanting. Service to Krishna channel. Chant with the mood of approaching Krishna. It is sublime. Even if they're, you know, by encountering some distraction of the mind or some valley in the course of chanting, Krishna's there. Krishna's mercy is there to enlighten you as to some attachment or some grief or some illusion, something. And Krishna puts light on it and helps us get on the other side of it. And it's very nice. But if we're in the, you know, often those valleys come because of a different reason. Earlier in the same fifth canto, Bhagavatam, 555, Prabhavastavada Bodhijato, Yavanda Jigyasata Atmatatvam, Yavat Kriyastavad Idam Manovai Karmatmakam Yena Sharira Bhanda. This is Rishabhdev teaching his sons about the role of the mind in coming to the realm of devotional service. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subject to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it simple or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. That's the problem again. Solution again? Taking shelter of Krishna. By service to Guru and Krishna. And what is our activity this weekend is a service that our founder Acharya has given to all of us, the medicine of chanting of the holy name. And Vandahari was sharing with me last night this further embellishment on this passage of Chaitanya Bhagavat, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was associating with his devotees, the further detail as we shared, he was receiving them and he was garlanding them, and this is his devotees, his disciples, and placing sandalwood paste and giving them prasad. He was giving his mercy and told them explicitly, chant the holy name of the Lord always. And there's one rule. Do it always. And also kirtan. So this was right after that ecstatic kirtan last night. He shared that with me. So although we were in ecstatic kirtan, Mahaprabhu's teaching is always japa, specifically japa. Japa. And kirtan. Fill the life with the holy name. That was his instruction. So Prabhupada gave us that instruction, and the followers of Prabhupada are giving that instruction to others. So the instruction is, be with Krishna. Restore that loving relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada on some occasions would say that 90% or more than 90% of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is based upon the quality of our chanting. A phrase that I like is, everything starts in the bead bag. How we do our chanting. Everything comes from that. When we chant, we're present with Radha and Krishna, calling upon them to serve them, pleading with Radha, please engage me in Krishna's service. So we're making that plea, and so they're present. In turn, we should be present with them. There's a very nice my chanting this morning was filled with the thought of the following example, of which says, be present with Krishna. That's part of my sankalpa. Be present with Krishna. And being present means to serve him. Lokanath Goswami, an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was in Vrindavan. He was sent by Lord Chaitanya before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas with the intention of going to Vrindavan. Although he's omniscient, Mother Sachi sent him instead of Vrindavan to Puri, but he sent Lokanath to go to Vrindavan. So Lokanath was in Vrindavan waiting and waiting and forever waiting for Lord Chaitanya to come to Vrindavan. So it's a long story, but he was in Vrindavan, and he was with Narottam Das Thakur. This is later. And he was residing in a very remote place. Those of you that have been to Vrindavan, it's on that road that goes to Govardhan Hill from the Delhi-Agra road. You'd go off and make a left and just through just completely kind of wild territory. And he liked very solitary, very peaceful. And they were chanting japa. The one farmer came and asked Lokanath, may I have some water? Lokanath didn't even respond. So the farmer went to Narottam and said, can I have some water? So to receive a guest, he went to the well and got water. And after the farmer took the water and thanked him, he went away, and Narottam sat down by Lokanath and continued chanting. And when Lokanath completed his chanting, he turned to Narottam and said, you're unfit to live in Vrindavan. You should leave Vrindavan. You're serving Radha and Krishna, and you're interrupted, you stopped your service to Radha and Krishna. The farmer knows where to get water. Brijvasi knows how to get water. But you stop serving Radha and Krishna. Now, this doesn't mean we don't receive guests. The message is, how seriously Lokanath was taking chanting of his japa. So seriously. And he was experiencing and wanted his disciple to experience the reality that we're serving Radha and Krishna. We're chanting the holy name. We're calling them, pleading for service. They come. and we're being inattentive? Shame. We're not fit to live in Vrindavan if that's... But we want to be in Vrindavan. We don't want to be in Kali Yuga, wherever our domicile might be. We want to be with Krishna. So we have to bring the mind to be present. Serving with rapt attention. Chanting means to give full attention. I'm going to read our introductory verse again, or purport. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. This is in relation to Srimad Bhagavatam hearing, but again, same as hearing the holy name. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I want to spend a little time about the service mood, the emphasis being given here is serving the Bhagavatam, Srinvatasvakata, Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyantakstogya Bhadrani, Vidhunoti Saritsatam. There's service. Nityam Bhagavata, Sevaya. Rendering service to the book by hearing and the person by hearing. By hearing. Our hearing is service. So, according to Nectar Devotion, we know that there are 64 items of devotional service. Five are most potent. They're all categories of service. What are those five most potent items of service? Chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, serving the devotees, residing in a sacred place. They're all forms of service. They're not forms of enjoyment. They're not forms of relief. They're forms of service. Service. Chanting is a expression of service. I'm going to read now from 6.1.15 Bhagavatam in the purport, where Jiva Goswami is describing chanting in Abhas and the indication I want to go to is how to go beyond Abhas to another level of chanting. So Aparad is the bottom. Nam Aparad. Middle, Nam Abhas. Top, Shuddhanam. So we want to direct or target ourselves towards Shuddhanam. The punchline is medium of service will help us get there. The mood approaching life with the mood of serving Guru and Krishna is the means to get there, to Shuddhanam. Listen carefully. Jiva Goswami. This is describing Namabhas, approaching Shuddhanam. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that bhakti may be divided in two divisions. Just back to an introductory point from yesterday. If we want to improve our chanting, how can we improve our chanting? More devotion. Well, here's categories of bhakti. Two divisions. Santata, devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. Well, we're not there. Here's the other category. Kadachit ki, devotional service that does not continue incessantly, but is sometimes awakened. Maybe we're in that category. Incessant devotional service. Santata may be divided into two subcategories. One, service performed with slight attachment. And two, spontaneous devotional service. Robust attachment. Strong attachment. Spontaneous attraction for Krishna. And the chanting of the holy name. Okay, that's not us. Intermittent devotional service. Intermittent, like anishtata, unsteady bhakti. Intermittent devotional service, kadachit ki, may be divided into three categories. Upper down to lower. Raga bhasamayi. Devotional service in which one is almost attached. That's not us. Okay? Raga bhasa, shunya sorup bhuta. Devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love, but one likes the constitutional position of serving. And three, abhas rupa, or slight glimpse of devotional service, a reflection of devotional service. That's us. Nama, just like Ajamila was Namabhas. So, let's go back up. Namabhas, what's just above that? Liking the position. Being attracted to the position, the constitutional position of being the servant of Krishna. And being the servant of Krishna applies very potently, very importantly in the realm of chanting. When we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. What are we doing? We're calling Krishna. We're chanting. We're calling Krishna. We're going to go through three exercises. I'm preparing you philosophical background for some practical exercises given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to bring this companion called the mind to Krishna. It's just detailing the principle. But I want to make the principle very clear. Service. And in the position of purity, it's the fully spiritual position, not a trace of material influence. That's purity. And when there's purity, then there's steadiness. And there's not purity, there's unsteadiness. Santata. Spontaneous love. And great feeling. Chanting with feeling is one of our topics. How do you awaken that feeling? We don't have it, so what's the position? We've got this filter program. And even when Krishna is calling us, or a devotee is extending themselves to us in a loving relationship, we're not there. And to extend ourselves the loving relationship, we don't have it in our hearts, so we're not there either. In our dealings with one another. And then there's, you know, we have this expectation, hey, it's supposed to be nice, but there's this neophyte thing going on. And, you know, mind says, what's wrong? And so it's over there. It's not over there, it's over here. It's over here. The mind filters Krishna. We got, you know, some other idea of why Krishna? Why not something other than Krishna? Sometimes that comes. Maybe we don't have an issue, but maybe we do have an issue. Why Krishna? According to, in the prayer section of today, there'll be a nice prayer where Rupa Goswami is describing even more merciful than the Svarupa of Krishna is the Nama of Krishna. Because the Svarupa of Krishna is hard to approach, but Nama makes himself readily available even to decrepit people like ourselves and so many other people. So merciful. And then we have some other thing, conception, and the mind won't pay attention to this most merciful form of Krishna. How unfortunate. So we have this interrupted devotional service, but to get an enchanting where we're sometimes paying attention and most of the time not paying attention. So how do we get this attention? How to bring our attention, concentrate the mind in a mood of service? It will take us beyond Namabhas into the realm of a glimpse of becoming attracted to Krishna. To have that experience, to go from where we are to where we would like to be, at least, you know, a doable step. You all heard a very nice presentation on the role of faith. We're not there, but there's some people that are there. And they're sending us signals, more than signals. They're sending a boat to get on the other side of this lake called the mind to Krishna. There has to be some trust or some faith in those persons and that those messages that they're sending. And those messages are very potent. Those messages tell us about the mood of service, the very means of service. It connects us to the person who then reaches and carries us to the other side. Just like case in point, the Shikshastakam verse, there's verses, these eight wonderful verses, given by Mahaprabhu himself. Can we get Mahaprabhu? Those of you that weren't here, here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's appeared in this world to give us, please take the holy name. Please take the holy name. And we're... But he's very eager. He wants to give us the holy name and he wants to receive the holy name. Where's our faith? He has it. He has the real thing. The real deal, as they say. He wants to give it. Why should we hesitate? So, how to approach the holy name? He's given us in the form of Shikshastakam. And we may find Shikshastakam is hard to approach. So then, wonderful renderings, like what we saw and heard last night of Dravidas, how that has touched his heart. Or I shared with you twice already how Mahanidhi Swami was describing how this Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram verse has touched his heart, and it's very powerful. Let those messages touch your heart. And it brings about the transformation of heart from this lethargic, or let's say not receiving the fullness of what Lord Chaitanya wants to give through the association of loving devotees. Now, there's some exercises, not exercises, some steps of helping to concentrate the mind, which was supposed to be the bulk of this morning's presentation, but I got inspired in this other direction, so I'm going to consolidate. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has offered us some teaching whereby we can help concentrate the mind, that companion of ours that wants to do his own thing, doesn't want to cooperate. I'm going to help us two preparatory exercises that's going to require your bead bag to prepare us for these Bhaktivinoda Thakur points. So, refer to this Gopuram chart again. You know, put your mind in that for just a moment. We're going to do the body part and then the mind part. The sit properly so that the physical alignment is there. So try to sit comfortably, but sit straight. And I'm going to take you through some suggestive things that will help bring the mind to focus. And I think what would be nice is, I first want to ask, how many of you have a workspace where you have a computer and you sit and do some computer work? I see a lot of hands. Okay. So I'm going to suggest that we're going to go there in the mind, just to be experiment to show the mind what the mind can do. Like Prabhupada describes, you know, if you think of visiting Mexico, the mind is so fast, the mind is there. Many of you are from India, you have family in India, just, you know, the mind can think of family in India, and the mind goes there, just like that. The speed of the mind. So we're going to go to your workstation. But before that, the experiment goes like this, or the little exercise is, I'm going to ask you, not right now, but just so you know where we're going, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and then tune into hearing. So there's the hearing acuity. You can hear the sounds in the room. The peacocks are quiet this morning. I don't know why. But generally here in Gita Nagari, you hear like this cacophony of peacocks or the sound of the kitchen or whatever it is. So sound, hearing, and we'll take you through a step of, and then we'll start chanting. Hear the sound of the chanting. And then while chanting, the mind's going to go somewhere else. To the workstation. And just see what happens. Okay, so close your eyes. And bring your attention to the sounds in the room. There's the fans and the sound of the air moving in the room. There's a squeaky fan back there too, I can. The sounds in the kitchen. Now bring your mind to breathing, the incoming breath, outgoing breath. Now try to deepen your breath, a longer breath, deeper breath. Bring that air into the region of the heart and out. Now, in your mind, picture that door closed of your workstation and bring yourself to the door that's closed. Open the door, and there's your friend, the computer. That little desk and the computer and the chair just inviting you to sit down. You walk over and sit comfortably in the chair, and you're facing your nice computer. You're feeling a little thirsty, a little dry. There's a nice glass of water by the side of the computer, and you reach your right hand over to take that glass of water, and ready to take a little drink of that water. Okay, so now come back to external consciousness here in the room. And how many of you were able to see the computer and see the room and see the chair and the desk and the whole thing? So the mind is capable of being moved. We can direct the mind. Yes, we can. Although the mind may want to do something, the mind can be cooperative also. So now the second exercise. We'll take your bead bag, get ready to chant. We'll chant a mantra, the Panchatattva mantra, then slowly together chant japa. And I'm going to ask you and suggest while you're chanting to bring your mind to the name, to the sound of Krishna's name. That's our fundamental instruction, after all. Where should our attention go? Attention go to the name. So we'll chant together Panchatattva mantra. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Continue to chant. And I'm going to give some instruction. Bring your attention to the process of hearing. Let the sound enter your ear. Now become fully aware of the sound of Krishna's name. Be present with hearing. And then awareness of the sound. Be present with hearing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
awareness of the sound. Be present with hearing. The car tells, that means you can stop. The mind can go to the holy name. That's how many experience something like that. The mind can go. The mind can be our best friend. So now, for those of you who are note takers or attention givers, these are three steps, sequential, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given to help us concentrate the mind while chanting japa. The mind wants to do something else, but we can help bring the mind to chanting japa effectively. So his first step, direct the mind to remember continuously the spiritual characteristics of the name. We can start with the name of Krishna, and Krishna are not different. And in this exercise, you can also remember or appreciate that Krishna Nam, the name of Krishna, is even more merciful than Krishna's form. The most merciful feature, even by the most merciful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the characteristics of the name, none different. And most merciful. And the call, or the message, the mood of chanting is to request Krishna to approach him, to serve him. So we're going to resume chanting just a moment, and to prepare you, the suggestive message I'm going to softly say while you're chanting is, Krishna, please come into my heart. You're present on my tongue. Please come into my heart. Are you ready? Please take your beads. Sit in a straight position. And we'll chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
My dear Lord, you have become present on my tongue. Now please come into my heart. my dear Lord. You have become present on my tongue. Now please come into my heart. Now we're going to take the same exercise and extend it to your deity at home or your deity in your temple or Shishi Radha Damodar who are before us. You can take with your eyes, take darshan, and we're going to then do the same and invite the deity in your home or the deity in your temple or Radha Damodar, and envision that form of the deity with our eyes closed and bring that deity into our heart. Invite the Lord to come into the heart. I'll share with you that this is the third of three exercises from this Sharanagati retreat that several people said in their 64-round day, fix them completely, because when they were chanting, they were seeing, like, for hours at a stretch, their worshipable deity, and their realization was, I'm attracted to my deity at home, but there's a disconnect between my chanting and my worship of my deity. But now I see the connect. I feel the connect. And so when I'm chanting at home, I'm now going to chant before my deity. And even if I'm not before my deity, I can see the deity and chant, highlight in big letters, in the mood of serving them. I can tell you from experience as well as from scriptural statement that the deity likes very much kirtan and japa. We may like kirtan before the deity or japa before the deity. But the deity likes. I mean, one of the delights that I have, I've said this practically every time I come to Giranagari, is the appreciation of knowing that Shishi Radha Damodar were initially worshipped by Vishnujan Maharaj with unlimited kirtan in all types of places. And then they came here to Giranagari and not the same kirtan. So we can know they're very happy to have us performing kirtan in their presence. Even when the door closes, they know the kirtan is there. So we're serving them by having kirtan. And the mood of serving your deity at home or your deity in the temple. In that mood, bring the deity, invite the deity into your heart. That's this next exercise. So let's resume chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Think of your deity in your mind. Picture your deity. Invite your deity into your heart.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
you very much.
We could continue this for some time. It's very nice. The spiritual energy in the room is like ready to take off. But we have to go to the next. So these are not contrived practices. These are Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given them as a way of bringing the mind, concentrating the mind upon Krishna in japa. So second is explain to the mind the meaning of the mantra. So when people ask us, what's the meaning of the mantra? What does it mean? Prabhupada has given us, O Mother Hara, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. Sometimes we read that little passage, the morning walk conversation in 1968. Please accept me. So we're going to keep it really simple. Following Bhaktivinoda Thakur's recommendation, we're going to resume chanting and direct the mind to appreciate the meaning of the mantra, and the meaning of the mantra has its mood. Krishna, please accept me. So here we go. I'm going to suggest this as we're chanting. The meaning, the mood is, please accept me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Direct your attention to Krishna. Request him, please accept me. I have turned away from you, my Lord. Please accept me. Please accept me. If we had more time and stay in that mood, but the clock is moving, so we'll have time tomorrow. We'll have 64 rounds of chanting. By the way, with the 64 rounds, there's some persons here who are newer at chanting, and it's not like you're breaking a rule if you don't chant 64 rounds, or there's some children that may find 64 rounds is too formidable. So it's not a no-no if you don't chant 64 rounds. You chant, try to set some standard for yourself that you feel you can do and strive for that. But if you can and are so inspired, it's very, very nice, especially in the company of devotees. We'll speak some more about our 64-round day. This is all to help prepare us for that experience. and then when we go back to our homes or our temples or our places, continue more deeply chanting the holy name. Okay, so the third recommendation. We covered recollecting the form of the Lord and the meaning of the mantra. So now we're going to go deeper. And that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's recommendation is heart-rendering appeal. Even in this mood of lamentation that we're not sufficiently desirous, we're not sufficiently strong, we're so tiny and buffeted by the winds of material circumstance, and calling out fervently. In the Sanat Kumar Samhita, so we're going to, this is what we're going to use as a entry into this exercise. There's a blessing or a prayer that if chanted properly every day, one surely attains Radha and Krishna. So would you like to know what that? Surely you will attain Radha and Krishna. Here's the prayer. O Radha and Krishna, you are my protectors from the ocean of material existence. You are known as destroyers of fear for those who surrender unto you. So according to Sanat Kumar Samhita, one who chants this prayer every day, and let's assume it means not mechanically, but in the mood of the prayer, will attain Radha and Krishna. So we've been practicing bringing the mind, directing the mind to where we would like the mind to go. And we'll try to go there, where we're being attentive to the mood and the message. How many of you have had the experience then when you're in a dialogue with somebody, in the course of that dialogue, some point comes up and your mind gets absorbed in that point and you just go off with that point and you don't hear the rest of the conversation, and you know, they ask a question at the end, you say, excuse me, but I got distracted by something that part of our exchange. Could you say it again? So we're having this mood of service with Krishna, but we get distracted by the mind that goes off into something else. And we want to stay, we want to be present, because otherwise we'll experience illusion rather than the reality of Krishna's presence and think there's something missing with this mantra here. And a lot of chanting is like that, and you know, ourselves and the world of chanters. So we want to go to this other level. So keep the words of the mantra in your scope of awareness, and then this appeal to the mind. I'll say the prayer again, and then we'll chant, and I'll suggest the prayer and see if we can go there. We can direct the mind to go there. O Radha and Krishna, you are my protectors from the ocean of material existence. You are known as destroyers of fear for those surrendered unto you. I'll make copy of this available at the end, so you don't have to capture all the words right now. So the exercise once again is a fervent prayer to Radha and Krishna. To be in their presence and become free of any other shelter and fearless. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
O Radha Krishna. I feel so separated from you. Please accept me. I feel so separated from you. Please accept me. Just end with the refrain here. This is a message of purity of mind. We can't keep the mind in that position that we just experienced if the mind is not pure. Doing ensemble with other devotees who are focusing in that way, it's much easier to sustain it. Requires purity. We have to pay the price for purity. That's letting go of impurity and accepting Krishna. So one more time. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. So we'll spend some more time with this mood of service and the role of prayer of helping to awaken the mood of service. For those of you that are just joining us, breakfast is served over in the Prasadam Hall. And then there'll be some time where few things can happen. Come back here in the temple room and chant. Of course, you can just spend time meeting one another and sharing with one another. Kirtan in the park, I think it'll be all right. Badahari, weather? What do you think? Huh? 10:30, 10:45, 11 o'clock, whenever you're ready. If there's not time, if you think there'll not be time, then we won't do it. Maybe there won't be time. We'll see. Gather again at 11:15. You can have a little kirtan 11:15 in the temple room. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki. You wanted to make an announcement?